Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager here for this week's Fireside Chat. On behalf of my comrade, I hate the word comrade. I take that back. My pal. How you doing, pal? This is one of America's beloved dogs. We love the guy, Otto. Otto's very special. He's so special, people are making things. I want to thank the Holt family in Alachua, Florida. Look at these. This is a, by the way, beautiful material. Look at this sock made of, from photos of Otto and Snoopy, our other dog. That is a beautiful sock. Which reminds me, would you folks be interested in Otto souvenirs, like autographed things? I'm just curious. It could be a burgeoning industry, which would help Prager you. I'm just curious. But this is beautiful. Thank you for making it. This is going to go up. I have a great collection of things. People, I have a hockey card given to me in Philadelphia at a speech that I gave, and some young person came over with me in a hockey uniform on a hockey card, you know, like baseball cards, hockey cards. I mean, I have so many wonderful souvenirs. They're very touching to me. So thank you to the Holt family. Appreciate it. Now, got some really important stuff. I'm going to talk to you personally right now. In other words, about this person. And it's a tough subject. So since the lockdowns around the world and in the United States, obviously, I have asked from the very beginning, I asked, is this more panic than real, more hysteria than real? If you look at my columns, and I hope you do look at my columns, they come out every Tuesday. You can go to my website, go to townhall.com, The Daily Wire, American Greatness, Jewish World Review. I mean, thank God it's widely published. But every Tuesday it comes out, and then different days of the week somewhere else. And from the beginning, the first week I wrote about hysteria, and then I wrote about is the cure worse than the disease? And I have been consistent in my belief, first my suspicion, and now my certitude, or very close to certitude, that it was a horrible error to lock down societies as opposed to quarantining the vulnerable. In country after country, wherever there was a hotspot, like the epicenter in the United States was New York City, it's not only overwhelmingly elderly people, and usually elderly people with another condition, it's not even enough to just be old, or a younger person with another condition, but almost always older. But almost half, in Sweden, the only country in the world not to listen to the UN and world experts, they listen to their own, who march to the beat of a different drummer, which is going to be my theme for this opening talk, were in nursing homes. And this doesn't minimize the horror. I mean, I have a beloved aunt in a nursing home. I begged her to, she's in Florida, I begged her to live with me, but she just doesn't want to leave. It breaks my heart. I mean, these people are in solitary confinement, and their deaths, every human being is infinitely precious. I only mention it, though, because we have ruined the lives of tens and hundreds of millions of people in the world who are exceedingly unlikely to die from this illness. Children, for example, the number is essentially zero. Children should not have been taken out of school. This was a horrific error. And now people won't even have play dates. They're scared of having their kids play with another kid, even after all of these weeks of lockdown. I realize now, and I've talked to you about this, the paralyzing effect of fear. Do you know, you'll even if you're an atheist, you'll find this of interest. Do you know what words God says to human beings the most in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament? You know? Our cameraman knows. He's a good Christian. Do not fear. Al tira in Hebrew. God, is that liberating? It is so liberating not to fear. You know, apropos of this, and then I'll get back to the personal aspect of this subject. So about a year ago, having a meal at a restaurant, and I miss restaurants terribly. I love restaurants. I have since I was in high school. I've done, I would say, half the writing of my life. Articles and books have been done at restaurants. I just love it. I love this great choice of items on an American menu, you know, an infinitely variable. Well, hold the mayo, but put on mustard. I mean, that is so American. And anyway, I miss it. I miss the waiters and waitresses. And it's, anyway, guy comes over to me. He goes, Dennis Prager. Yep. As much as you know, I'm reading your Bible commentary, the Rational Bible. And there's something you wrote there that changed my life. I always love to hear something that changes a person's life. What idea have I come up with? And he said, where you wrote how important it is to fear God, because then you won't fear man. He said, I have been walking around my whole life fearing what will people say, how will people react, and so on. It was so liberating. So we are paralyzed by fear in this case, so unwarranted in this case, because it's overwhelmingly a killer of the very old in very compromised circumstances. We need to find a way to help every one of these. I think there is, by the way. This is the scandal of the modern era, that people have objected to hydroxychloroquine and along with zithromycin and zinc, which apparently, when given early enough, has an incredibly high rate of curing people of the disease. But because President Donald Trump recommended it, people hate Trump more than they love saving lives. That is the only reason for the opposition to hydroxychloroquine. That is how pathologic the hatred of Donald Trump is. I'm not asking you to like him. I don't even talk about him in the fireside chats. But I do care about keeping people alive. I can't imagine hating any president more than caring about keeping people alive. It's a pathologic hatred, which is has nothing to do with values. It is all psychological and highly complex as a result. But anyway, now back to the personal matter. So I have taken this position that it is probably a terrible error. Now I'm convinced it is. Please, please, please read my column this week on why it's such a terrible mistake. And I just really touch on it, because I could have written far more than 900 words, but you have to keep columns down to under 1,000 words. But I will just give you a few things from it. I just want you to hear. Professor Michael Levitt, who teaches structural biology at Stanford University Medical School, won the 2013 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. So he's obviously a serious scientist. He stated, and I had him on my radio show, he repeated it, there is no doubt in my mind that when we come to look back on this, the damage done by lockdown will exceed any saving of lives by a huge factor. The lockdown, in other words, will kill more people than the illness, than the virus. And that's just talking about the damage in terms of death. The damage in terms of life is beyond belief. the tens of millions of people who are out of work and who the loss of the dignity of a job. See, the elites don't lose their jobs. So they have contempt for the people demanding that states open up. They have truly contempt for them. Here, I'll read it to you. This will blow thine mind. Famous verse from Jeremiah. So listen to this. This is on the front page of a left-wing magazine, The Nation. A prayer by a left-wing Christian. He is Reverend Dr. William Barber II, a Protestant minister, president of the North Carolina NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. This is his prayer. May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. So he describes the people who are not dying of the disease, but who have no jobs, no income, on breadlines, the tens of millions out of job, out of work, as merely inconvenienced. The elite and the left's contempt for the average person, I've known this my whole life because I've studied the left my whole life. They have contempt. They're the deplorables, as they put them. Merely inconvenienced is how this guy, he has his job. He has his income. Merely inconvenienced? Whew! Takes your breath away. We have created willfully a depression, a worldwide depression. Hundreds of millions of lives are at stake in the world because of hunger and other disasters, because the food supply chain in the world has been deeply hurt. Even in the United States, it's beginning to be hurt. So here's the personal part. When I first took this position, members of my own family who agree with me, I have members of my extended family who don't agree with me, I'll leave that aside, said, you know, listen, you're taking a really a position that could really hurt your credibility, and your credibility is everything. And it affected me because these people love me and agree with me. And I knew they were right. It could have hurt my credibility to take such a position so early on, when the world is saying that 2 and 2 is 5, in my opinion, or if you will, 2 and 2 is 4, and I'm saying no, in this case it's 5, whatever way you want to look at it. It is not easy. So my question to myself and to you is, what enabled me to take such a public position? And the hatred directed at me, I'm attacked, I think, 3 or 4 times in the Washington Post and the New York Times. I mean, on Twitter, I mean, I am just evil. I'm just evil. So what enabled me to do this? So here is the way I've guided my life. I have stood by what I believe to be true. True is first. True and good. But if the truth is not good, I still have to know what the truth is. Truth is a very big deal. It's everything. It's actually everything. I have never cared if I was hated. I'm not happy to be hated. I'm not a nut. I'd rather be loved than hated if I have a choice. But I don't live to avoid being hated, and I don't live to be loved. And by the way, this is a very helpful thing to all of you. I have a great motto, which I developed for myself early in my life. I will not let the compliments go to my head, and I will not let the insults go to my heart. If you let compliments go to your head, insults will go to your heart. So if you don't let compliments go to your head, in other words, it's both or neither. That's the way it works. So the compliments, I'm very touched that someone has said something warm or loving. I am touched. especially if it's accompanied by a box of cigars, then I am really, really touched. But that's true, but it doesn't go to my head. It never did. Likewise, you are, and then a bunch of expletives, I don't lose sleep over that. I have to answer to what I believe is true and good and answer to God. That's what I believe. And it has stood me well. And I knew that the damage was uncalled for. I just knew it. Now, how did I know it? I'm not a scientist, which brings me to a third reason. And this will disturb many of you. And I don't blame you for being disturbed. It is disturbing. Long ago, I realized that people with PhDs in history, political science, sociology, women's studies, gender studies, psychology, you know, all of the, I'll put psychology aside because that's considered a science, but in all of these, what they're called liberal arts or social sciences, I knew that most of them were foolish people. I knew this from when I was at Columbia University, and I was taught by brilliant people who were foolish. I was taught nonsense by brilliant people, people who knew a great deal and had no wisdom. So I've always known this, but I've always said, whereas the left has corrupted the social sciences, at least the natural sciences, you can still study honestly at a college. Well, it turns out that they have corrupted the sciences as well. And a PhD in a science is no more today committed to truth than a professor of women's studies or gender studies or sociology or English or what have you. This is terrible news. That is why so many scientists are against hydroxychloroquine, because of politics, not because of science. I had a doctor on who works at Lenox Hill Hospital, or works in conjunction with a doctor in the epicenter in New York, who's treated 1,450 people with COVID-19. And he has cured everyone but two with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. So you'll say, well, that hasn't been peer-reviewed. Those people are living. Okay? You're right. It has not yet been peer-reviewed. And then they had a phony, a terribly irresponsible, even phony Veterans Administration test and said, oh, it could actually kill you. The chances of it killing you are like ibuprofen killing you. Anyway, my whole point here is the fact that someone says he or she is a scientist doesn't mean anything to me anymore. That's the problem. I'm not happy to tell you this. They have been as corrupted by ideology as the professors of English. That's the problem. Who, for example, won't teach Shakespeare because he's a dead white European male. I believe in science, but I no longer believe in scientists. But I quoted the scientist. There are some terrific scientists out there. There are some terrific professors of English, but not the average. So that's that. I am not intimidated. Do you know that 2,200 scientists condemned the Swedish government for not having a lockdown? God bless the Swedish government. I never thought I'd say that in my life. They are the proof that the world made a terrible mistake. They're living proof. There was no lockdown in Sweden. They kept the cafes open. They kept the schools open. People walked around without masks. This notion of walking outside with a mask, do you not have common sense and realize how absurd that is? Unless you're completely congregated with people like at a non-existent football game. But walking in the street? jogging, walking your dog? I have to wear a mask? I consider it an act of common sense not to wear a mask outside unless I'm in a crowd. Read the article. It's a very big crisis in the world created by experts. Remember that? The experts have destroyed the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Not the virus. That's key to remember. The human tragedy today is the lockdown, not the virus. They have a lot of suffering on their hands, these people. And the politicians who believed in them, like the Indian Prime Minister, a country of 1,300,000,000 people. There were a few hundred deaths from the coronavirus and he locked down his country. You know how many people are on the verge of starvation now there? Okay. I hope friends who differ with you will watch this and let them respond. Let them respond without telling you how awful I am. They can tell you how awful I am, but that's not a response. They need to respond to what I said. Is the misery on earth today overwhelmingly caused by lockdown or by the coronavirus? That's the ultimate question. We know the answer. The only question is, do people have the courage to face it? What's our time frame? 22. Or at least I'll have time for a video question. I love your questions, folks, by the way. All right, here we go. Take it away.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Makasia Jackson, and this is my Rottweiler King. There you go, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
I served in the United States Marine Corps, and I am a member of Prager Force. My question for you today is, with the current police state happening in America, do you see states continuing with these unlawful constitutional laws? Or do you see them stepping back after everything happening? Or continue on to violate our Fourth and First Amendment rights? God bless the USA.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That was my column last week, and I'd like you to see that about, let's call it the dress rehearsal for a police state. Even if you agree, just be intellectually honest, even if you agree with what has been done in virtually every state in the United States and certainly elsewhere, but we'll take the U.S., first of all, I don't understand on what right the governor of California has to tell me I cannot go to a public beach. I'm not joking. I don't know because he thinks it's healthy for me. Okay, well then, why stop there? But they didn't stop there. I learned about this. This is so interesting. See, I knew things were getting bad when Burbank, California, near where I broadcast, Burbank, California announced many years ago that you cannot smoke a cigar in a cigar store. Did you know that? Amazing, no? And I remember saying it on the radio, this is beyond belief. If I voluntarily want to smoke in there and the owner is fine with it too, and the other people came in willingly, what is it your business? First of all, the whole secondhand smoke thing, that was my first clue as to how little science animates much of epidemiology. 50,000 Americans die each year, I was told 20 years ago, because of secondhand smoke. The British Medical Association and others already debunked that. It's like a bad joke. If you believe that, then you'll believe, and I don't mean to insult you, but you'll believe anything. What if they said a million? Would you believe that? Yes. Does it make sense to you? Now, by the way, there's now third-hand smoke. Look it up. There's a belief in the dangers of third-hand smoke. A jacket that was worn by a person who was smoking and then someone else smells that jacket later is endangered. These are bored people. Bored people are very dangerous. So I remember thinking, wow, if the city of Burbank can tell people that they can't smoke in a cigar store, then we have truly ceded rights. And that's when I came up with the saying, it's 20 years ago, health uber alles, health above all. Your rights are rescinded if I think you're doing something unhealthy. Of course, then they legalize marijuana, which so often has a terrible impact on a young person's brain. But that's a separate issue. Of course, they say, well, you can't have it if you're under 18 or 21, I guess, depending on the state. But of course, I think there are a number of people in their teens smoking marijuana. I would infinitely prefer they were smoking cigars. Has no impact on the brain. It has no impact, period, to be honest. It's minuscule. And I don't say because I smoke cigars. I know cigarettes are dangerous, but cigars are not inhaled. So this is what tipped me off to the corruption of law and science. Ironically, the cigar and secondhand smoke issue. So the governor of California says you may not go to a beach. So I mentioned on the radio, it cracks me up, the notion of public beach. The public cannot decide what it does with a public beach. So please understand, the word public is phony. The public does not own anything public. The state does. The government does. That's why I mistrust government. It's a facade. It's not a publicly owned beach. It's a government-owned beach. The public has no say about who goes on the beach. This is what I mean. We live in an Orwellian world where the language is just bastardized. It's corrupted. Public, you may not use a public beach. Well, then it isn't public, is it, Governor? Can't have it both ways. And then when people demand that the beach be opened or that they be allowed to open their store because they're going bankrupt, literally bankrupt in the millions, the elites have contempt for them. You know who have contempt for them? The people who have their jobs, like the governor and the scientists and the journalists. They all have their jobs. So they have contempt, as I said earlier in the show, for the average Joe, as we say in America, who wants to open up his store. Nobody's forcing anybody to go out of their house. But I don't know how you can force people to stay in their house. Do you know it's the first time in human history healthy people have been quarantined? Did you ever wonder, gee, why exactly? If overwhelmingly elderly people with secondary health problems are the ones who were killed by this illness, why don't they get quarantined? Why does an 18-year-old, when virtually no child, it's almost zero the number of children who have died of this? Plus, we should have been making more immune people. Locking people down doesn't allow the virus to create the herd immunity that they're going to have in Sweden. As I asked one person who was for the lockdown, so if there was a second wave in the autumn, would you rather be in America or Sweden? Without batting an eyelid or a lot, what is it, batting an eye? Well, you have to bat your lid, so let's be real here. To his great credit, he said, I'd much rather be in Sweden. Where they have developed, and that's what they said, we want to develop herd immunity, where enough people have it so that the virus doesn't start reinfecting vast numbers of people. They serve as a sort of block from it going further. What the American National Anthem has as its last words is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the land of those who welcome draconian laws and non-bravery. The transformation is dramatic. In 1969, I believe it was, There was a flu that killed more people than the coronavirus has thus far killed. And way more in 1957. Way more people died in the United States of the flu. Nothing. They didn't close one candy store. It's a different world. It was a different. That was the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's today. It is the land of the unfree and who welcome that. And that's another thing I have been saying. Freedom is a value, not an instinct. People much rather be taken care of than be free. And America could lose its liberty in a generation, and I fear it might, because they haven't been taught to treasure it. That people think it's okay to be told that they can't run their business. The state has ordered you to lose all your money. You've done nothing wrong, but you are ordered to cease being able to provide for your family. And what we will do is we will print trillions of dollars, print, like people print something on their printer, the government printer. And this is okay with a vast number of Americans. It's a very troubling time. So in light of the fact that we're pretty much done with time, let me just leave you with this. It's very important to ask yourself, if you agree with me, if you don't agree with me, it's a non-issue. But if you do, or even if I've opened up questioning to you, do you fight for freedom and do you fight for the poor of the world? Even forgetting freedom, as I pointed out, this is hurting people more than the virus. I only gave you one Nobel Prize winner in the science, but he is not the only scientist to say this, thank God. So if you agree with me, then you have to fight. Because nothing good comes without fighting. That's the way the world is. People fought for me to be able to be free, and not from the comfort of their room, and not just to be attacked on an internet that didn't exist. I mean, they fought on beaches. A lot of people died to enable me and many of you around the world to be free. Don't take it for granted. Freedom is won, not assimilated. All right, my friends. It was a very serious fireside chat, but we're in a serious time. But I hope this prompted some thought. And let me know what you think of the socks. Not these, the ones I showed you originally. God bless you. Thanks for watching. On behalf of Otto and myself, I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.